Justice.
It's the greatest. We had to happen to us everywhere, so when it happens, we appreciate it. You know, it's like, I don't know how, why in the hell we got so popular in this one particular spot. I mean,
that's funny.
Man, we don't sell out that. We don't sell out a place this size ever. I mean, like we sold, you know, dinky 27,000 albums. You know, I mean, we don't sell like that. You know, but in spots.
From another publication, just like to sit in and just list of what's going down. That's all. All right, Don.
Is that cool with everybody?
Sure, I know that.
Oh, okay.
You know, yes. When I thought you were pretty big just about everywhere. Because in L.A., when your first album came out, there was a lot of talk about that, too.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of talk, you know. But, I mean, it gets wrote about a lot. And there's, you know, a lot of, like you said, a lot of talk about it, you know. But there's no, like, I mean, it's like, that's what it is. It's like, it's one of those albums that gets reviewed all the time. And, you know, and an actor gets all, you know, gets... wrote about a whole lot and talked about, but nobody buys the records, you know? And all people have to do is see the band, you know? Once people see the band, like we've been out, and man, right out the next day, and they buy both albums, you know?
Right.
Because it's a great bunch of guys, and those guys, you know, they put out every night, you know, all the time.
Yeah, I get the feeling of it's more of a band. Than Bruce Springsteen.
That just happened to be a situation that I fell into, you know? I mean, I've always had a band, man, my whole life, you know? I hadn't played by myself for a few months, write a batch of songs, and walk into Columbia by myself, you know?
Yeah.
With an acoustic guitar. And there was a lot of, you know, false impressions, you know, that stuck. So I put my band back together as soon as I had a little money, you know, the ability to do it, and I did it. And, it was something. It was it. You know, it is a band. I work. I don't believe, man. Guys, standing on how many scrubbing, you know, like clean, you know,
really?
Playing a little riff. That ain't, you know. I mean, if I got guys behind me, I want them to, each guy to be happy, you know.
Exactly.
And it makes the whole difference, you know.
Like, yeah.
Get them out, man. You know, make them out and let them out there, man. I got guys that play great. Let them play, man.
Yeah.
Let them play.
The feeling I get is because I feel that. You're writing songs around the band in their context.
I'll tell you what I did. The first album, I didn't do that. The second album, I did do that.
That's what
you
I
know?
Mean. It was much more than
right.
The second one.
I said, and the main reason I did it so much was because the first album came out, and like I said, a lot of wrong impressions were taken about just who I was, you know.
Right.
People didn't know who or what. The record company didn't know what I was. My own manager and producer didn't know who I was, you know. So it was a case of where I said, well, man, I gotta straighten this out, man. You know, I gotta get this straight. I gotta make people see. So I wrote the band heavy on the second album, you know.
Yeah.
I wrote songs that I arranged, you know, and I made sure there was a lot of music going on, you know, a lot of music.
Yes.
And a lot of textural things and a lot of colors, you know, and different tonality.
Segues, too.
Right? Yeah, you know, all everything, you know, and... because I want, and then I figured it would, you know, the scale was like that, you know, I figured I'd try to get it somehow so people get a more clear picture of who in the hell you are, you know, of who I am and where I'm from, you know, and there's a scene, I was almost put in a situation where you got to fight for your own identity, you know,
yeah,
a lot of times, and that was the main reason I did that, you know.
Yes.
I did that. Like, it was a totally different frame of mind. Like, this next album will probably be more of a balance between the two.
Yeah,
you
I was
know?
Just about to ask you.
Yeah, it'll probably be more of a balance between the two. Like, the music will still be there, but the lyrics will be, you know, it'll be more of a balance.
Yeah, I think the first album emphasized more the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
By showing, you know, the words on the covers, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were no words.
Second album, I said, man, get them lyrics on the cover, yeah. You know? Just, you know, just put it out, you know?
Yeah.
Just put it out.
Really?
And everybody complained to me after it's been out. Everybody writes in and wants lyrics, you know? But,
Can you get them by mail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was such a big, you know, everybody, hey, man, where's the lyrics?
I don't think it really matters. No.
Well, to me neither, you know, but it's like, people got hooked on the lyrics. and they want them, you know, and they like to sit there and listen to your record and dig the lyrics. And I can dig it because, I mean, that's, if I sit down, you know, and you put a record on. And, you know, even if you're digging the sounds, you know, you like to look at the picture.
Yeah, right. Or the liner
people,
notes. You know,
I know people that get an album and, you know, play the record and look just like look at the cover the whole while. It's like, people need the visual, man. Really? They want the visual.
Exactly.
You know, they want that visual thing happening too. And the next album probably will have a lyrics on it again, but I figure I've balanced it out somehow in the long run, you know.
How does it make you feel that people are looking at you, you know?
It's like, I usually, you know, have my defenses up, you know. even when I do what I put on the record, you know, it's like, if it's something that, you know, if it's something you don't, you know, it's like, hey, man, if you got a big scar on the side of your face, you know, so you meet somebody, you're like, how you doing, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So it's that kind of thing, you know. A lot of people do that on record, you know. Sometimes, but it depends, you know. It's a hard thing to exactly say. What are you looking for, huh?
Clothes.
It does. How you getting back?
No.
Where you going? You going any place?
I don't know.
I had an address with some guy at a party, but
a party.
Yeah. I don't know what I can do. It should be around somewhere.
Oh, find that mother, man.
I'll bring it back at the hotel and see what goes. Boy, that was out. That was fun.
I really, I was very impressed with your work. I play piano also, and
he's
I was. I'm a steel mix off that second album, every which way. It's really nice that you didn't stick closely to it. You know.
Yeah.
Is it a different thing every night?
This guy does.
I try.
He does. He plays something
all the time.
That was great. I think the audience was really getting off on the beginning too.
Yeah, we'll find that address.
Okay, I'll bring it back home.
See
you
guys
later. Dig you later.
Heard you on KDKB yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Got on.
That sounded like it was real good.
I played all my favorite records. You know, I had a great time. I love it. Because you go there, you go to these stations, and you sit there, and you come in, and the guy goes, okay, what do you want to talk about? And I don't want to talk about anything, you know, because, I mean, like, okay, I want to talk about, you know,
I want you to buy me.
Yeah, I want to talk about, you know, sidewalks, you know. There's nothing, you know, I mean, I don't have nothing to talk about, you know. So, I said, listen, here's what I do sometimes. Let me just, you know, rack away at the records, you know, let me play the records, you know. Because people, man, they'll get a better idea where you're at from the records you play.
Exactly.
You know?
I got a really good idea of where you're at.
Right, you know, it's amazing.
It's a New York soul. You know,
they know where it's at, you know, and even they play Surfer Girl and they play Sandy, and there's an understanding right away. And if I sat there for a half hour and bullshit, well, Sandy is about living at the beach, and, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and just if you play like Born to be Wild or, you know, Lady of the Pack and then into the Angel.
You get the connections.
Then Flash, you know, and people are like, oh, you know? More than if a cat sat on and tried to rap, because they asked everybody, there's no way you can talk about it. There's no way, that's the easiest explanation you can give.
Yeah.
And people, they put on radio to hear the music, you know?
I think it's much better than saying, you know, like, who you admire, because people say,
oh,
I know this guy likes this.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, I got a much better picture of that.
Yeah, you know, people get hip to where you're coming from more by the music you dig, you know?
Yeah.
But, that was fun. That was a great fun.
And that's a good station, too.
Oh, I love it. You know, I tell you, it's just out here. Like, you don't know, man. This stuff don't happen every place. I mean, we just played to the walls in Dallas, you know, two days ago. I mean, like 20 people every night. You know, two sets a night, four nights a week. 20 people, no more than that. You know, we had a great time, you know, the band. Because the guys always, like those guys, you know, I just got to sit back and, you know, listen to Davey play something or Clash play the sax. You know, and it's fun, you know, like it's fun.
It's more fun than playing alone.
Yeah, you know, it's fun, it's great. So even if the joint's empty, we still, you know, we still have a great time, you know. But we played to nobody there. Now, somehow, Austin was really good, and Houston was really good, too. But, man, we'll go back and, like, the way it happened here, it didn't happen on the East Coast, man. I played joints 5-6 times before we packed places up there. Like, just now, we packed Boston. You know, and I played there 5 or 6 times, you know.
Is that the Child Theater?
In Boston? No, we played this place called Joe's Place.
Is
That's really hard to believe because I think your music is much more Eastern than Western, you know?
Me too, man. I couldn't believe it. I came down.
It's like getting thrown out of your ballpark, you know?
Right, that's right. I came down, like I said, in a dugout. We were the first night we went to play in Houston, and the country Western band, you know? And everybody, you know, you got the fiddles and the Orange Blossom Special. I said, oh, man, they ain't gonna dig us here, you know? we're on the wrong side of the tracks, you know? We're on the wrong side, you know? And the joint went crazy, you know? And I couldn't figure it out. They went... I mean, we don't get this kind of reception on the East Coast, or back home.
I'm really glad it happened here.
You know, I mean, you just don't. It's just... And it's like the biggest smile bar in the whole world.
What about L.A.? What's that like?
We never played L.A.
Oh, really?
Never played... We snuck in and played 5 songs at the Armisen Theater. Snuck in and
that's
played.
That's not really playing.
No, we didn't do it. We never played it. If we played it, it would happen, you know?
Yeah.
But we never played it. And we never played San Francisco, really. And we never played any of them places where we should play.
Why is that?
We don't have the money. We can't get out there. Like, now we have to go back tomorrow because we don't have any money left, you know? We have to go back east. We got just enough to fly everybody back home. But we can't. We wanted to go to L.A. We can't. We got the bread to get out there. And that's why we canceled out. Like, we canceled out this tour. This whole tour must have been 2 or 3 times before. You know, we had all these gigs set up. Canceled out because we couldn't. We couldn't. No way could we get out of here.
Would you like to play back here again?
Oh, yeah. I love it, man.
Yeah, I think that Doug Clark will probably book you again because...
Oh, what fun. That's great fun.
Jesus.
I mean, you know, it's nice because the band has it there. You know, like, I know... If we get a good crowd, like, I know the guys in my band, they play from the heart every night. They don't, even if the joint's empty, if the place is full, it doesn't make any difference. Now, those guys, they play good every night, you know, and it's good to be able to have somebody there, you know, and it's a fulfilling thing, you know, it's really a...
Did you have the band rehearsed more on the second album than the first?
I didn't have no band at all on the first album. Those guys came up, I got them together for... 3 days, we rehearsed 3 days, went in and did all the back tracks in one day. So there was no band, you know?
Yeah.
It was just, you know, the instrumentation is very small. You know, it's like acoustic guitar, bass, drums, piano.
Right.
That's it for most of the cuts.
Saxophone and a little
saxophone
bit.
Two cuts.
Chorus, maybe a little
right,
bit.
You know, maybe a guy playing a little, you know, stand up bass. But in general, there was no band at the time. There was no band. And the producers were pushing it. They wanted the lyrics, and I was going, man, boy, I was freaked out at the end of the album. I was like, man, let me put a damn guitar on that track. You know, let me do Saint, like, what we did Saint and City.
I had no idea you were a real guitar player until the second album.
That was my whole thing. I played the guitar. That's what I never sang or did anything.
It blew me away. I said, wow, this guy? You know, I thought you were just a folky with a rock background.
That's it, you know. They don't people.
I didn't realize that you were closer to the Rascals than somebody like Bob Dylan.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, it's like, that's what I mean. People got all screwed up, you know. They dug it. I can't do this one thing. I write lyrics, you know, and I write songs, you know, with lyrics like that, you know. But they figured, they flashed on that, and they figured that was it, you know. Then they come and see the band, and, you know, I'm a whole different person, you know. And they go, ooh, wow. You know, what's happening here, you know? They turn their heads around and his ear went on and look in, but it was something, you know? It was just like the end of the album, and I was going, man, put a damn guitar track on. And, you know, because I was so frustrated, and I was sitting there and saying, you know, the name of this song is R&B Saint the City. See the way we did that tonight?
Yeah.
So that should be done. Boom, you know? It's rock and roll. It should be done that way, you know? And that's the way that song should have been done, you know, and I'll be glad we do a live.
I think the only thing the same was with the live performance with the record was that ending with the train.
Yeah, you know.
That's the only thing that was said the same thing.
And even, like, I laid in the guitar, and, you know, and it makes it more exciting. That's why I'll be glad when we do a live album, when we get popular enough, because I can set a lot of the records straight from the stuff. Like, we'll do stuff from the first album, like, totally rearranged, you know, the way we do it here, you know? Totally different.
Like, even in the songs that you didn't write, there's a lot of arrangement in there.
Oh yeah.
What was that first Walking the Dog? There's a lot of little things you got to know.
Oh yeah, Rufus Thomas. That's, you know, just the funny things. You know, the little.
I love really subtle arrangements because, you know, like, I don't know how many pick it up, but I like to just sit back and analyze the musician. It's pretty tight. God.
Oh yeah. You know, it's those guys are great. You know.
Have you been playing with those guys on and off for a long time?
Some of the guys I've been playing with for a couple of years. Some I've known guys that's played with me 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just had a guy, I had the drummer who was on a few last two albums had lived with me. Well, I'd played with me for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it just wasn't happening correctly, you know. It was a lot of little problems happening.
This guy seems a lot more subtle.
He is. This guy plays the damn drums. He plays the drums, you know. And he knows the subtle. He plays the drums. It's all his drum. You know, he don't beat the drums. He don't smash the drums. He plays the drums. That's the kind of guys I want in my band. I want guys that, I want them to know how to rock, you know, but and be able to come through with the energy. But I want him to be able to play the drums. Like Boom is, like he's that way. He's very understated and he's very self-care, you know. And it's a music band. I want to be a musician's band, you know, for guys. And because that's important. Like you can come out and, you know, get people off just as much and just as good by playing musical, melodic things as just by coming out and blasting at them with a few chords, you know, or on 10, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd rather do it that way. And I don't want to play real loud, and I don't want to play, you know, I want to play, you know, like, you got to go back. It's the way the older cats did it, you know? Like, they came out, they had people going bananas. Little Fender amp with no mic in front of it, you know.
Yeah.
Guys strum acoustic guitar with no mic.
Yeah.
People going crazy in the crowd, rushing the stage.
And you see these old photographers say, "Oh my God, how did they get that?"
It ain't. See, people got screwed up, man. They didn't know how, so they figured well how much, you know.
Right.
Like they didn't have they didn't know what the thing was, so they figured well just everything.
Right.
And that, you know, and that sort of blasts people into submission, you know. It sort of works, you know, but to do, you know, to have the know-how, you know, to do it, you know.
But you got a pretty full sound, but it's, I think it's from everybody playing little parts that everybody fills in.
That's it, you know, like the guy, like the organ player, D and Davey will ding, 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 and it's, you know, it's a big full band, you know, because of the guys. You know, I can stop playing the guitar.
Yeah.
We'll do things, you know, I can just stand up and you can jump around and do whatever I want to do, you know?
And you have.
Right. You know, it's fun. I love it, you know? You can jump all around because, you know, that's what those guys bring, you know? It's something. And we can do it with just two keyboards, a bass, and a sax, and it sounds like it's all happening there, you know?
Yeah.
You don't say, ooh, there's something missing, you know? Because I got, you know, you got the musicians that, like David plays a big piano, you know?
He plays a big piano.
A big piano, really. He's like
he uses all of us.
Yeah, you know, he's together. He's like,
I understand he left for a little while to try to start his own band.
Yeah, he left for about a year, 8 months, 9 months. You know,
what was he doing then?
He was banging away down south with working in some studio, trying to get an album again. You know. He did that for a while, you know, and he's a young kid, he's 20 years old, you know, he's 20, damn kid, he's a baby, you know, and,
I'm 20 too, but I didn't know nowhere near what he
was. He's 20 years old, the kid, and he was dynamite when he was 18, he was 18, 17, he was out. Bye, John, thanks for coming, huh? Okay, thank you. Yeah, I walked on stage in this club. He was playing, him and a flute player, and I walked on stage and played, and that was it, you know. I mean, I forget how old he was then. He was a lot younger. He was younger than him. He just knocked me away, you know.
Yeah.
Because what it is, you ain't gonna find a guy that's gonna play classical, and then it's gonna go and play jazz and McCoy Tyner type things, and then it's gonna get up and go on a domino song and play each as heavy and with as seriously as much into it as that, you know. And the guy played classical,
it's like Gershwin and Jerry Lee Lewis,
right? And then we'll get up and he'll pump that piano to death, you know. Let's just pump it to death, you know. And he's incredible. He's just incredible. That's all.
I understand. You recorded an album about 3 years ago?
No,
you didn't? I read it in an article.
My first album?
Melody Maker said that you recorded an album on a Fillmore label.
Oh, no, I don't know how they got that. I did a demo tape for Fillmore label a long time ago.
What was that like?
It was rock and roll. It wasn't too good.
Was that with a smaller band?
It was pretty bad. Huh?
Was that with a smaller band?
That four guys, damn, he played with me. He was there. He's been with me across the country a couple of times. And we were playing in San Francisco. Me and him was there. Lopez was there, too.
Yeah.
You know, and we just fell into this Fillmore thing and banged out a couple of tunes. Yeah, it was terrible songs and it was bad thing. The whole thing. I was 18, I was 17, 18, you know.
Yeah.
The hell. And, I was, of course, into all the wrong things at the time, you know. And, you know, with a passion, you know. You know, with a passion. And, we did it. I think I don't even have a copy of it. It's probably bouncing around somewhere. They probably burned it, you know.
What happened? No, I don't understand that there's some bootlegs around California.
No, you gotta be kidding. They don't even know it's me. My name ain't even on it.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's like it's they don't even have that. That'd be weird if it was. I mean, who would want a bootleg? I mean, it's not.
That's
you'd
not
never
clear.
Know it was me if you heard it, you know. Who's that, you know? Because it just doesn't sound, you know, I mean, at all, but. If it was, that's a surprise. I mean, it doesn't pay to bootleg me anymore because it pays to bootleg Dylan or, you know, Rolling Stones. But what are you going to do, bootleg, you know, 10 copies of my album and that's not for a buck a piece to
give them to both your friends.
Maniacal fan, right, you know, because that's it, you know. I mean, I can't sell the real thing, you know.
I play at a place down in Tempe on the weekends. And,
yeah.
We do mostly oldies and like walking the dog, and
yeah.
Twist and Shatter, what we do. But
oh,
you know, it's Beach Boys and Beatles and Neil Sedaka.
Oh yeah, you know,
Breaking Up His Heart Beat Classic.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh,
just,
yeah.
It's really nice to see somebody with the same roots. I'm from New York too.
Yeah,
and I'm really surprised. You know, I can't understand when you sit on the stage with John Bigger. Is Phoenix the only place, like, you know, the biggest place they sold?
I'll tell you, we have never, ever, ever, ever in my life got receptions like we get, like we've got on this tour. I mean, like, a reception like that, oh, forget it. You know, he's a manager, he knows. He's, forget it. You know, it's like, that doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. You know, it's the kind of thing.
This tour, oddly enough, it has happened.
Right, that's what I was saying.
I don't want to bring this one point up because Gary brought it up outside.
Hey, film me a banana.
We had just finished Liberty Hall, right?
And we said, hey, that's it, all downhill from here. it was such a great gig.
Such an enthusiastic gig.
The place went bananas. The joint went crazy, you know?
And then, like, we just said, well, that's it. We don't want to leave Houston. We want to play you the rest of our lives.
Right.
And
then
we went to Boston. Like, the first time we walked in the album, 1,050 kids were there. And he went,
yeah, you
know.
Crazy. I said, what the heck is this?
Don't worry. What did you set me up or something? I mean,
so, okay, who's pulling this gag?
Right.
Who's pulling this gag on us, right? And then tonight, when Doug Clark comes, you guys, I think you guys are going to sell it out.
Oh, I had no doubt that you guys were going to sell it. I really, you guys.
Where the fuck is that? We don't have an album on the charts, no singles. What's going
on? Oh, no singles, no album on the charts.
Nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Let me tell you, when you were Katie, first of all, Katie KB plays a lot of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, we know that. We owe them a debt.
And when you were supposed to play with Roger McGuinn, I think you were the first one that canceled out. And they were a hell of a lot of refunds just because you canceled out.
Jesus.
And so I had no doubt that you'd sell it out here.
Maybe Doug Clark, I guess, but like,
and I just telling Bruce that it just freaked me that Phoenix is one of the isolated spots. Just thinking that, you know, at least Iceberg Park.
Even
you know.
It's been Phoenix is right. I mean, who the hell we think was gonna come see us in Phoenix, Arizona? Who's gonna come see us in Houston, Texas?
Nobody. There's a lot of transplants from Phoenix.
You know, right.
I'll tell you.
We have never ever been to these places before ever. Like I said,
first time in, we had already done it one time before, and they were all nuts. Then you'd expect, like, well, the word got out, and geez, man, you ought to go see this concert. But first time coming in cold.
It's getting here though. A friend on the East Coast wrote an article in my magazine called Bruce and Bob Dylan in the '70s. I mean, this is where he heralded. I hitchhiked all the way from San Francisco starting Friday morning to take it to this concert. And a dude picked me up out of San Francisco and he talked about a concert that you had played in D.C., I think, till about 4 a.m. in the morning. He said that there was only like maybe 400 or 500 people. Was that right? Like maybe
700.
Okay. But he was there at the concert. He told me about this. And I got down the mall. Monterey, and I called my friend, and I said, hey, make sure I get a ticket for Bruce Springsteen. Okay. And, I mean, the word's getting out.
Oh, well, you know, because...
Oh, God, I wish we could play.
Can't keep a good band down. But, you know, you got to pump and pump away, you know, which I don't mind, because keep me out here forever, you know. I said, Mike, next gig. Yeah.
Next gig.
I don't want to go home. I just want just, you know, push me around a different place.
Does it bother you a lot to get compared, you know, saying like Dylan in the 70s? Because, like, maybe my first album, I thought was maybe pick comparison. Second one, not so much. And that's in the live, I don't think at all, really.
That's it, you know, I mean, I look at a man, I know who I am, you know. You know, anybody can plainly see, you know,
yeah,
that there's a whole different, the sensibilities are totally different, you know. I mean, I come from a totally different place.
I never saw Bob Dylan jump around.
Right.
Not like Jay Giles.
Well, right, it's like, you know, like, I come from a totally different place, you know, than his scene. It's like, it's another thing. You know, eventually, people will get hooked to it, but, you know, everybody don't right away. It doesn't bother me because, like, I know who I am, you know.
What about the arrangement done for you?
Well, that was a Stone Dylan arrangement, you know, I mean.
I mean, what made you decide to do it in band and on the record and alone? Here.
Oh, well, on the record,
I just thought that was gonna be one of your rockers. Yeah.
It could be, you know, but we do it both ways, you know. Mm-hmm. On the record, the music has more of that the blonde on blonde feel to it, you know. But actually, the song is better. Comes across much more if I do it by myself.
Yeah,
you know.
I thought so too.
And it's like
basically speed up and slow down. And
right, you know, it's like I can do a million freaky things, in it, you know, and the song gets the smaller the place, or the more into the crowd is. You can do a lot of crazy things with that song, you know. And it's a case where if we're playing a real rock joint, if we're playing a bar, like a place, Satellite Lounge or some joint like that, then you know. You can't play a song like that because nobody listened to it, you know? Everybody's, you know, screaming and yelling, so we do it fast, you know, and it works good that way. But to do the song right, you know, and that's the way it should have been done, you know?
Yeah, that's the way it is with a lot of your songs. You can see you can do it both ways. And even like in the band arrangements, it seems, you know, it's really tight one way, but and you can be loose in at the same time.
Mm. Oh, that's it, you know?
How do you rehearse the band that way? Is there certain parts that you can...
So, first of all, watch me all the time, because I'll give you cues if we work on cues, you know? Mm-hmm. And we have some things that we find... Once we find out how a certain section feels best, if it feels best after doing three of these particular riffs, then we'll, you know, leave it like that.
Right.
Once we find out how a particular section feels best, we'll leave it. But at first, I say, okay, here's what I want, you know? You know, lay a stop in here, lay a snare snap in there, lay out there, you know, bring it down, and then I'll do this and bring it up, and when I do this, it should stop, and when I go, you know, it should come in, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's how, you know, that's pretty much how we do it, you know. It's like, except stuff like Kitty's Back, you know, which I, you know, sat down and thought about, you know, a little bit,
yeah,
figured out how. I want the horns and everything, the feel and everything. But generally, you know, but then I say, a guy takes a solo. He plays and he plays until he looks at me. When he looks at me, that means
he's finished.
I'm done.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, I noticed that.
I let him do it. I let him roll it. I say, listen, when
especially like when your guitar string broke and you're fixed it. He kept on going until...
Oh, yeah. You know, and he just... And then finally he looks at me to see if I'm ready, you know, in a case like that. But he's like, let him do the thing until... Let them structure their whole solo, you know? Like I said, okay, take it twice. And then I don't care how hot you feel. It's my turn, you know? You know, it's like... We don't do a thing like that. And like, you know, take two bars, you know, two things, and then stop. You know, it's like, just take it, and then when you're done, let me know, you know? And then I'll do something, you know?
Right. I know it's very good the way you worked your way into that after, I thought you did, made the best out of a bad situation.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, well, the songs are very flexible. Yeah. You know? I can do things. If I broke it in the middle of a piece, I can stop the band, you know? And then I can write, and then I can bring them back in, you know, because they're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even I noticed one of those, what was it? Walking a dog. I was counting off. Came right in.
Just, yeah, you know? It's like,
you just stand there, they're all watching you, and they're all counting. Everybody's counting. I could just tell. Everybody's counting. I couldn't see their lips move, but you know.
Yeah, that's it, you know? It's like, you know, everybody sits, it's funny because I, you know, it's like, we have a thing where I say, only sudden moves. If I move slow, don't do anything.
Right.
Only sudden moves. So I move real slow because sometimes, one night I went, and no one comes in, just to scare the boom. And then I said, oops. You know, and the guy goes, oh, you
and
know.
And you put your head down a little low.
Right, you know. Oops. You know, but I said, sudden moves, be on that. You know, be on that, you know. And they are, you know. It's done a lot. Everything is left flexible, you know, like, no matter what happens, it can still happen, you know. So, like, it's best that way.
Like, if, well, how about, like, the ideas when you're going to the studio? Is it pretty much worked out, or do you usually work it in there?
I'm going to the studio. I like to know, at least have a very good basic idea of exactly what I want to do. I don't want to go in the studio and sit there, because I won't do anything. I'll go in the studio and I'll sit there too, you know,
right.
With everybody else. So, like, I like to have a song totally done, arranged, the band note cold, you know. And then we'll go in and we'll do it in two or three takes and leave it alone, you know?
You should do it live, or do you work parts?
We do the basic dance. Tracks live, you know?
Which
we
is usually what?
The drums, the bass, the guitar. We do it sort of the way you hear it on stage, you know? And then if the guitar has a crappy sound, well, I'll overdub another guitar in later. But we do it, we go out and we'll play it like that. And then maybe we'll just use the drums and bass. You know, yeah. But that's cool because...
What about the sound leakage there?
Well, we have a situation where I'll play direct. Uh-huh. I won't play through an amp. You know, I'll play just...
Oh, and everybody's got headphones.
Yeah, that's, you know? So there's no problem, you know?
Yeah.
And it works out, you know, it works out. Because that way, the drums and the bass have that fire, they have that spice of playing it with the band, and I can overdub and get a better guitar sound, a forward solo, or do whatever I want to do, you know,
right.
So can, you know, everybody else. A lot of times, I'll come up with lots of musical ideas in the studio, we'll try out instruments, and I'll try different riffs, right, like the beginning of Sandy, like I went in and did Sandy, that was one of the few things that came together in the studio, like, I just went in and did the track one night, you know, I said, well, okay, let's arrange it like this, we'll come in and do four of these little chord changes, and then stop, and you know, I'll sing a little bit and two and we're out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was based on acoustic guitar, accordion, and a few other things. And the drums, you know, and the bass. And then I later went on and I dubbed like four guitars on the beginning, I think. You know, I did four guitar parts and what else goes on? And a little recorder part in the end, you know?
Yeah.
And
the tuba.
Yeah, you know, all sorts of damn things, you know, and the baritone, that's right, we dubbed all those things, and I come up with a lot of musical ideas in the studio. The
second album sounded more like you used the instrument more as an instrument than the first.
You mean...
The recording studio as
oh, yeah,
facility,
oh, yeah,
you mean.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's... And I don't think you can treat it the same way you would live.
No. It's like... Studio and live are two different things, you know. You have amazing things in the studio. Get in there and use them, you know. Don't say
they're amazing things on stage that you can't bring off.
Right, you know, exactly. Get in there and use them. And it's two different things, you know. It's really like I won't sacrifice the energy, you know, or anything like that, because I listen to the track and I make sure it's got it.
You
got to
sacrifice the visuals, you know.
Right, you know, but you got to, that's it, like, there's things we do in the studio, like a song like, what's a good for instance, we did Sandy or something, let's say I did acoustic, I used to do it just the acoustic guitar and accordion, and live it worked really well. But on the record, man, you need the instruments to project, see it, the kid
persona.
Yeah, it's got to jump out. It's got to jump off the record player, Adam, you know?
Into your brain.
Yeah, you know, and they hear the night guitar and the accordion and everything, working the drums. You know?
Yeah.
And it makes the song a little more alive. It makes it come alive for him, you know? Because I'm into Mr. Esoteric, and, you know, it seemed like, you know, I'm into, like, geez, let me do this song naked, you know? just me.
One with y'all.
You know, I don't want to do that. You know, I mean, I'll make it sound good, make it sound fun, you know.
But what was that, Mary Queen of Arkansas? That was a nice little touch with the harmonica just sort of slithering in and out.
Yeah, that's it. You know, like we did the take of the song by myself, and I said, use some reverb on a harmonica, and I went out in the studio, and that was the first take of the harmonica part, the first take, and it makes the song, it makes a difference, you know. It's like, I haven't heard it in a long time, but I know I really liked it at the time. And little things, just like the bass fiddle at the end of The Angel.
Mm-hmm. It makes it just a...
Yeah, that's as spacey as we are, as I get, you know.
Yeah.
That was pretty spacey.
More is less. Less is more.
Right, you know. But, you know, like, guys go... You know, that's all. I'm just into making. I want the records to sound good. I like to hear horns. I like to hear everybody singing. And I like, you know, I want to hear that. I don't want to sacrifice those things to be, you know, I don't want to be on an intellectual trip like that, you know?
Do you do much of the harmonies on the album?
Did I do them?
Yeah.
I sang with myself and Rosalita.
Yeah, I know that, but like, which one is it?
Real well. Sandy?
Yeah.
It's funny, the engineer's wife, engineer was an Israeli cat, he was rushing to get the album done because he had to go over and fight in that war. Really, that's one of the reasons why we canceled the tour out down here. We had to squeeze the album.
Does that make you feel like, what did you feel like then when you said, I gotta rush
it? It was a pain in the ass because the guy is the greatest guy in the world. I mean, the greatest guy in the world, you know? And, it was a big down for everybody. It was very serious at the time, you know. I mean, the guy's going over to get his head shot off or something, you know. And his wife was about to have a baby, and his wife came in, and she sang like an angel, and she plays a violin too, you know. And she hit them high harmonies, you know. She did all three of them. She did them all herself.
Real nice.
Yeah, she did them all herself. Like on Incident on 57th Street, it's... The band, the guys in the band did those harmonies.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's this real, real greasy soul. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like you got a lot of soul influences, like.
I love it, man.
Do a lot in the South with other bands.
I did it one time. I made my living between Jersey and Virginia and Carolina and places like that. But that didn't have a lot to do with. Didn't really pick up any influences down there. Kids now, kids ain't into. Well, they're getting more into soul now, but they're into it. They're not into it. Don't matter where.
Unless it has like 50 violins over.
Right, you know. That's pop, you know, the pop, soul, everything's gotten screwed up, you know, everything's all twisted around these days, you know, like, I don't know why either, who said, hey man, we got to have violins on the soul records from now on, they don't make Stax records no more, you ain't never gonna hear another,
or early Atlantic,
right, you know, like, the Arthur Conley song, whatever,
Sweet
Soul
Music, right,
there was one song, Boogaloo Down Broadway, you ain't never gonna hear, that record comes on, and then, darn man, the worst sound in the world, and it sounds great, you know. Baby, gang, 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 boogaloo down, bro, gang, gang, gang.
Yeah,
it's guitar and the snare's going, you know. And then that record comes on, and it all works. You know?
Or what about Working in a Coal Mine?
Right, you know, you don't hear stuff like that. They don't make those records anymore. The clothes are out.
You know, I heard a story that, you know, that song Funky Broadway, that's written about Broadway in Phoenix.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's written by some, you know, in West Phoenix.
Yeah, huh?
Down in 17th Avenue, which is kind of a funky part of town. But some guys are going up to a guy at one of the big radio stations here saying, yeah, he's like, we got a song, but we don't have any publishing, man. Like, and we can't sell a song. So the guy takes half of it, you know. And it made a hit. Yeah, but that's not Broadway in New York.
It was Broadway in every town.
Really? It must be. That's why.
That's why it made it, right? And when the song South Street came out, Meet Me on South Street.
Uh-huh. That's where all the hippies meet.
That's where I lived. I lived on South Street at the time. I went out and bought the baby right up. You know? Give me head record.
Do you think you'd like to be produced by someone like Phil Spector? Or do you like to produce your own?
I don't know.
I think you could have a really good Philly sound on it.
Because someone else mentioned it to me the other day. You know? Because, you know, I dig Spector's things. I love, you know, like the Ronettes and all those people. I'm crazy over
them. Yeah, I noticed you were playing.
If I ever find a girl sounding like Mario right there, right. I'd marry, I'd say, will you marry me? I'd say it right
I'll
away.
I'll get pictures for you.
Anything you want, you know. Just, you know. If I ever found it, like when the Shangri-Las, like the other day, you should see us in the studio. I mean, we play records, we freak out.
Yeah.
We were jumping all around and dancing all over.
I mean, that's what we do at Uncle Albert's. We do that, a lot of that funny stuff. We do My Boyfriend's Back, all four guys, you know, it's great.
It's like, and when that girl comes up, I met him at the candy store.
Yes, we see.
Right, that voice, I go, oh.
Yeah, right.
You know? No music today gets me like that.
Or that
she comes on with a man at the candy store and that voice goes.
Or walking in the same.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Great.
And to Be My Baby.
Oh, yeah.
The emotion, you know? Yes.
It's just classic. That's all you can say.
It floors me to this day. I'll put it on, and it just floored me, man. I got parts of my next album. I'm going to do things with girls' voice too. Like,
would you like to work with someone like the, you know, the Ronettes or somebody like that?
The trouble is, like, I don't know if I'm not into working really with right now too much with anyone who.
Or would you eventually like to produce your own albums?
You know, we sort of do that now. Like me and Mike, and this other guy Jimmy, we go in the studio and they say, we do the arrangements. They make sure the sounds are good. The drums go.
And that's production.
And yeah, that's what it is too. You know, I mean, if a guy gets in there and I've never worked with like a heavy producer, a guy with a name. We've all been at
an advantage.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Ever since the beginning, you know, that's why. Like, I don't like if I had a chance. Like the next record, I'm looking for a chick that can sing that way, man. That can sound like those girls did, you know. Because I got parts for a girl, I'm going to do like, sort of like the country artists do, but I'm going to move it to my side of the tracks, you know? And
a little grease in it.
Yeah, and, you know, back and forth, you know?
Grease the tracks, isn't it?
You know? And I'm looking for a chick to find, like, because I don't know where I'm going to find. I'm sure there's somebody out there, but if you get up, I don't want to get hooked up with, like, a big name thing, because... You know, I don't need it. A lot of times it's a destructive trip, you know.
You're afraid of, because he's so big, you're afraid of going against him.
You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to get hooked up with, like, you know, it's like, we have a pretty good scene now, you know. We get to make good records, and the band plays good, and, you know, it's like...
Do you like the studios in New York, 914, is that what you record?
914, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. No, man, I never made one studio, two studios in my life. I mean,
that's why Columbia artists had to record at Columbia Studios.
Nobody does, you know.
I know.
But you're supposed to, and they hassle you, and they have guys that chase you in the studio, and the obnoxious, they go away after a while. They don't want to stay there. So, I don't know about studios. I don't know really. All I know is that I got somebody who I believe knows, you know?
Yeah.
And I listen to the records and the drums go, boom. I say, yeah, that's good. That's the sound I want.
And that's where it's coming from.
You know, so I figured, as long as I hear what I want, I don't care if I'm doing it in this room. You know, one's the same as that.
A lot of real good records just come out of your own home, you know?
Yeah.
Some friend
operating the takedown. You know? The engineer we work with is a great guy. We make records, it's great. Everyone has fun, you know? Everyone has a good time.
And that's what I want. That's what I want to do, man.
I guess I got plenty of material.
Okay.
I really would like me to send a copy.
You can send it to this camp.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
What's the
word?
Yeah, thank you, too.
We got him. Do you have everybody's name in the band?
Let's see. I have Clarence Clemens, Gary Talent, Danny Federici, David Sanchez. Is that how you pronounce it? And I would like to get the drummer's name.
Oh, wait. Ernest?
Boom.
Carter.
Carter.
Okay. All right.
I thought you gave a Roy Dynamite concert. I just...
The address of where to send a copy of it.
Oh, you can send it to Mike Appel, Laurel Canyon Limited at 75 East 55th Street, Suite 706, New York City, New York. Zip code is 10022.
I just got on tape. Oh.